Welcome to Lugano Pico Sunnati Church Online Service on Sunday, 4th of July, 2021. I'm Irun Kim, the minister of LPUC. Hope all of you who watch and participate in this online service are safe and well in this ongoing COVID situation. Whether you are currently in lockdown or not, whether you are a LPUC member or not. This online service is a wonderful opportunity that people of different ages, from different parts of the country or even the world, families are sitting together, people watching while having a cup of tea or coffee, are all coming together, worship online, in ways that we just couldn't have imagined in the past years. I just say that you are part of the LPUC online community. As a minister, as a pastor of this community, I'd like to ask you to get connected with me or connected with our community by giving your feedback by email, or if you have any prayer point that in our prayer team, we have a great prayer warriors here to pray for you and support you, please don't hesitate to contact me via email, YouTube or Facebook. I look forward to connecting with you and supporting you in prayer. In today's passage, Paul says there is something wrong with him. He says that he has a thorn in his flesh. In other words, he has a problem, a concern and issues that we don't know much about in the scripture. So today, we are going to think about the thorn in life that may become thorn of grace based on the epistle reading from 2 Corinthians 12:2-10. Let us begin worship by prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we praise you for your fantastic love, your life, transforming grace, for your holiness, for the absolute perfection of all that you are and everything you do. Lord, you are completely out of our reach. There is nowhere we can go to find you, yet in your mercy you seek us out. There is nothing about our lives or our achievements, nothing about our commitment to worship or service that makes us more acceptable, yet you have chosen to fill us with the Spirit. We praise you for the coming of Christ and for the power of your Holy Spirit and for the assurance that they give us that you are our God and that we are loved. We call you wonderful because that is what you are. Holy and merciful God, in your presence we admit our wickedness and our shortcomings and our offenses against you and one another. You alone know how often we have done wrong in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love, in failing to love others as we love ourselves. Have mercy on us, God, in your loving kindness. In your great compassion, cleanse us from our wickedness, create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and sustain us with your bountiful Spirit. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us worship God by listening or singing, if you are alone, the first song, Indescribable.
From the highest of heights to the depth of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God, all powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall. Knees as we humbly profane, you are
My name's Jan and I'm going to bring you the Bible reading today, and it's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 2 to 10. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except of my weakness. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of the Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
If you do the gardening, sometimes you may end up with a spike, thorn or prick in your skin from spiky plants such as roses or, you know, cactus. You know, you can see, I guess you don't have to see very clearly, but, you know, on this rose there's sharp the thorns, and you can be easily pricked by them. I presume you know what it is to get a thorn in your hand or arm. It is uncomfortable. It is painful. So you put it out as quickly as possible. You may wonder what the good Lord had in mind when the thoughts are thorns. Yet we know they are the irritable armor that protects roses and other thorny plants from being eaten extensively by animals. But that doesn't make it feel any better when your finger is bleeding because of a thorn. I think it is the same way with the thorns in our life. In today's reading, Paul says there is something wrong with him. He has a thorn in his flesh. In fact, we don't know what Paul's thorn was. However, what we can find is that, you know, even with his thorn, Paul keeps doing the work God sent him to do. starting new churches, doing missionary journeys. Paul is amazed at what God can do through him, even with a nasty thorn slowing him down. God can also use us even with our thorns. If we believe God can use us and try to do what we think God wants us to do. Have you considered something as a thorn in your life? When obstacles arise in your life, what has it helped to give you the strength to keep going? When Nelson Mandela was released from prison after 27 years, one might wonder how he would address his fellow citizens. Would he be rebellious, angry, bitter, seeking revenge? What kind of leader would emerge after such a lengthy imprisonment? Mandela addresses tens of thousands of supporters who gathered at Cape Town City Hall, beginning with these words. Comrades and fellow South Africans, I greet you all in the name of peace, democracy and freedom. I stand here before you not as a prophet, but as a humble servant of you, the people. Mandela is respected as a humble, resilient leader seeking peace, unity and reconciliation for the people of South Africa. How do the lives of Nelson Mandela offer examples of resilience in the face of difficulty? What are the things that distract us from what God has called us to do? What is God calling you individually and as the church to do? In today's passage, Paul talks about his thorn in the flesh. There have been many assumptions about what it was. Some suggest epilepsy, others malaria, severe headaches. Still others say it was a problem with his eyes. One scholar has even suggested that it was his family's resistance to becoming a Christian, but we don't know what it really was. We just know it bothered him enough, so he called it a messenger of Satan to torment me. In the Message Bible, it says Satan's angel did his best to get me down. Why wouldn't God remove that thorn, especially after Paul prayed three times for it to be taken away? It is like Jesus praying at night before his crucifixion that he be spared the trial, but the crown of thorns was his to wear. God didn't remove those thorns either. Why the thorns in the life of Jesus? Why the thorns in the life of Paul? And why are the thorns in your life and my life? Paul concludes in verse 7 that his thorn in the flesh is there to keep me from being too elated. A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. It is to remind him that he is dependent on God. God spoke to him, saying in verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Paul is not saying here that God wants us to be weak or sick or to suffer insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties for Christ's sake. He's not saying that it is good for all God's will that we all suffer. He's telling us how God works through our weaknesses and our hardships. It is like Paul's words in Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God. Paul isn't saying that all things are good, but that God can work for good in all things. God can work for good in all things. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That is a strong message for all of us, regardless of the particular thorn in our side, illness, handicap, hardship, abuse, disaster, a tragedy, an unfaithful spouse, and an incurable child addiction or whatever. Everyone has at least one thorn attacking and bothering them. And like Paul, we have prayed for those thorns to be removed. We have questioned the why of it. There was a survey in which was asked a question. If you could ask God only one question and you knew that, He would give you an answer, what would you ask? By far and away, the number one response was this one. Why is there pain and suffering in the world? In a delightful little book titled Dear God, Children's Letters to God, there are some witty notes from the lips of young children. This is one of them. Dear God, I have doubts about you sometimes. Sometimes I really believe, like when I was 4 and I hurt my arm and you healed it up fast. But my question is, if you could do this, why don't you stop all the bad in the world? Like war, like diseases, like famine, like drugs, and there are problems in other people's neighborhoods too. I'll try to believe more in. What a quite thoughtful note, isn't it? The truth of the matter is we don't know why. And while in our anguish we feel compelled to ask why, the more important question is what now? Now that we have this thorn in our flesh, how are we going to handle the pain of it all? Will we let it devalue or depress us or defeat us? Or we will allow God's grace to be sufficient for us and find that God's power is indeed made perfect in our weakness. I guess you know that our neighboring country, New Zealand, is the home of the more flightless birds than any other country in the world. They have the kiwi, the kakapo, and so-called wake rail. These birds had wings, but lost the ability to use them by neglecting to fly because there was always abundant food available and there was no danger for some beast or reptiles. And the cost of their comfortable life was the power of their wings. They had no necessity to fly, and so now they have no ability to fly. It could be the same with us. The thorns we fear may stimulate us on. They compel us to expand the wings of the Spirit. It is our need which drives us to the mercy and grace of God. The thorn in the flesh that we resist so strongly may be the stick that keeps us going if we choose to deal with it that way. I wonder, if God does, will any suffering on us? Answer is no. Paul refers to his thorn as a messenger of Satan, but God interrupts Satan's message and turns it into strength. God doesn't desire us to contract diseases, suffer hardship and loss and accidents, but God can work in and through these thorns in our existence, transforming them into sources of power and strength. God used this thorn in Paul's flesh to teach Paul that God's grace is sufficient. Believing that God's grace is sufficient is not an easy thing to do. Ultimately, what we have to do is to rely on God's grace. If we allow it, God can empower us and strengthen us. Not only in spite of, but because of the thorns that pierce our flesh and our lives. The members of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, know that truth intimately. The first three steps of the 12-step AA program articulates what Paul is saying only in different words. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to stability. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. The first three steps on the road to self-restraint are admitting one's weakness and recognizing one's dependence on the power and grace of God. They are not just the first three steps on the road to self-control. They are also the first three steps we must take if we are going to get in right relationship with God. We need to admit to ourselves and to God that we are wicked people and that we cannot escape our wickedness on our own. In our prayer of confession, we say in one form or another that we are in bondage to sin or bondage to immorality and cannot free ourselves. We admit our own weakness, but it doesn't stop there. We don't just throw up our hands and give up in despair. Instead, we find hope and help in surrendering ourselves to God and depending on God's power, love, and grace. It is then that we discover the new life that God gives us. It is then that, like Paul in verse 10, we can contend with the weaknesses, insults, hardship, persecutions, and difficulties for Christ's sake. For as Paul puts it, "For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." God's grace is sufficient. If we are not experiencing God's grace in the trials and thorns in our lives, then perhaps we are not standing in the right relationship to God. We need to turn around and let God's grace gently stroke us and soothe us. The thorns and troubles of life remind us who we are. They tell us that we are mortal and not immortal. They tell us that we are weak and not strong. They tell us that we are children of God and not God. They can drive us into a right relationship with God so that we discover the joy, peace, and contentment that come with depending on God's grace, which is sufficient for us. When we encounter the thorns on the rose, we can curse it and cast it aside because of the pain it has caused. Or we can learn how to handle the thorns and so be able to enjoy the rose's beauty. When we encounter thorns in life, we have the same choice. We may never know the whys of the thorns in our life. Like Paul's thorn, they may never be removed. But despite that, we can discover how to handle them and find that God does give us the strength to deal with them. As we do, we can declare with Paul that God's grace is sufficient for us and that His power is made perfect in our weakness. So what about you today? What is your thorn? What is your attitude toward His presence in your life? Be reminded that God loves you. Nothing in your life right now is a denial of His love. Knowing that you're doubting, anger with God, despairing that He hears or cares, all of those feelings are okay. Our Lord doesn't rebuke you, but He cries with you. You belong to Him. You are His child. So today I invite you to take your thorns to God in prayer and lay them at His feet. Tell Him all that you feel about your illness, your disobedient or rebellious child, your loneliness, your painful marriage, or your endless struggle with the finances, your disappointment to God and to those you love, your constant regression into wickedness and immorality. Bring your thorn to God, along with all the pain and bitterness connected with bearing it. Let Him love you. Let Him hold you in the palms of His hand. Let Him restore and establish your joy and fill you with His strength. Remember, when we are weak, we are strong. Because His grace is sufficient for you, for His power is made perfect in weakness. As I conclude this message, I'm going to read a poem, Every New Morning by Bonhoeffer. Every new morning is a new beginning of our life. Every day is a completed whole. This day today is the limit of our sorrows and efforts. It is long enough to find God or to lose Him, to keep faith or to fall into sin and shame. Just as the good old sun rises every morning on you, so is God's eternal mercy you every morning. Amen. Let us take a time in silence to reflect and ponder the message you have just received. Let us listen or sing the song, Your Grace is Enough.
Hello, I'm Laurie. Let's pray. Dear God, in the midst of this new COVID lockdown in Sydney, we thank you that you are bigger and greater than the coronavirus. Please help us to remember that you are the one who spoke the world into existence, and that as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. We confess that we often ignore you and believe that we are masters of our own destinies. Please forgive us for our arrogance and foolishness. Dear God, there are so many people, communities and nations that particularly need your mercy at this time. As we sit silently now, please bring to our minds the situations that you want us to individually pray for. We pray for those people and those circumstances that you have brought to our minds. We ask that each person may know your mercy and your forgiveness, your comfort and your strength in their particular situation. Dear God, we thank you that your Son, Jesus Christ, lived and loved, walked and worked on this earth. We thank you that by his death and resurrection, we have the opportunity of being restored into right relationship with you. We thank you that you have not left the human race alone to muddle our way through, but you sent the Holy Spirit to guide us and to point us back to Jesus. We thank you that you have given us your word, the Bible, that seemingly crazy collection of stories and authors. Please help us to take our Bible off the shelf, dust it down, and then meet you as we read its pages. Thank you for the many apps, DVDs and internet resources that are available to us to connect with your word. Dear God, we look forward to this coming week. Please help us to see you at work in our world and to join with you in your work. Amen.
Few announcements for today. Our church committed the last two Sundays as Thanksgiving Sunday. As we thought about the blessings that we have received from God in our life on an individual level and on a collective level. And we gave a special thanks offering to help farmers affected by the floods and the mouse plague. If you are willing to donate the fund, it is still available and possible, so the bank account details are on the screen. As a part of follow-up of our June mass church that was cancelled because of the Greater Sydney lockdown, we posted a message home kit to help those families who registered to explore the message, which was God has plans for us. And also sent a message to every message family. And for some of resources, they can borrow from LTC Library. So if you want to know more information, contact by email or phone. As you said earlier, if you'd like to get connected with me, connected with our community, or give your feedback, please do so by email. And moreover, if you have any prayer points that in our prayer team to pray and support you, please don't hesitate to contact me. This is a blessing. Our worship is over, but now our service begins. We are called to go and live God's love in the world. We go in faith and in hope to feed Christ's sheep and care for Christ's lambs. Go in peace, and may the love of God embrace us, the compassion of Christ challenge us, and the Holy Spirit guide us. Amen. This is the end of today's online service. Thank you for your participation. Hope you have a very blessed day and blessed week. See you next week.
I got no worries. Got no woes. Feeling happy, that's me.